Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Amen. That's the hope of glory, Christ in us. And he makes it possible if we are humble and submissive to his spirit. It will happen. So not our way, but his way. It's now time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for our service tonight? Please feel free.
Loving Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of another Sabbath. Your day, with thy grace, by thy grace, your way. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing us our Savior and giving us hope for the near future, even today. Please strengthen the internet signals and the ability to be able to speak and converse. And especially, we ask that you'll grace us as we contemplate and continue our journey through Prophets and Kings, a fantastic classic, illuminating the Old Testament times of prophets and kings that still have all the power and force, and perhaps even more so now that we're in the last days of the great controversy coming to a close. We want to be on the right side of the great controversy and stay on it and be faithful unto the end. And we pray that you would increase in us thy spirit so we can have a telling testimony to those who are either in Babylon or being drawn back into Babylon or being tempted to go back into it by persuasions that have no higher authority than the power of man and his will. We thank you for taking care of us throughout the week in all areas, including physical health. May precious souls that have heard or have received seeds of truth, it not be lost on them that the truth is one way or another being shared with them, and that they will want to be that good land, that good soil where it can grow healthily and bring forth fruit in due time by your grace. Thank you for allowing us to have a work for each and every one of us to do. And as little as it seems in the whole scope of this large world that we live in, thank you nevertheless for the joy and the hope that's set before us and the privilege of defending the faith in meekness and reverence that has been once delivered to the saints for all the world to have. Thank you for wisdom to do this. And thank you for being our God here, both Jesus, Father, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus we pray, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. We are continuing in our study book, Prophets and Kings. We're in chapter 8. That's titled National Apostasy. And we left off about a third of the way down on page 111 to the paragraph that starts out, having sought the Lord. So we recognized that the 10 tribes of northern Israel were in deep apostasy because Jeroboam led them that way. Oh, praise the Lord, dear sister. And then turning our attention in this chapter to the king of Judah, Asa, we saw that his way of serving the Lord was completely different than Jeroboam. Asa wanted to follow the commandments of the Lord, to follow his statutes, his judgments, to seek the Lord with his whole heart, and was not going to follow the wisdom of man. And so the devil, of course, didn't like that, sent against him the army of Egypt. It was like 10-1 difference or 5-1 difference. It was a huge discrepancy in armies. But Asa didn't put his trust in the Lord, but he also wasn't naive. He wasn't presumptuous. So he had an army, the best men he could find. He trained them. He positioned them. He had everything prepared for the conflict. But he did not trust in the forces of his army. He trusted in God. That's the difference. God can save by many or by few. We just have to remember to trust him in all of our plans. So we're to prepare for the emergency, but we're not to trust in our plans. We're to trust in God. So that's where we left off. And now we'll see more of this particular event here, with Asa meeting the forces of the Egyptians. Having sought the Lord in the days of prosperity, the king could now rely upon him in the day of adversity. His petition showed that he was not a stranger to God's wonderful power. "It is nothing with thee to help," he pleaded, "whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." That was verse 11. So notice here that it said that Asa sought the Lord in the days of prosperity. So when things were good, when there was an abundance, when there was wealth in the land, Asa did not forget God. He was grateful to God for all the blessings that he had bestowed, but he didn't put these blessings above the God who blessed him. We can look at that in our day as he did not love money. He loved the God who provided the necessary financial benefits. And so often when things are easy, when things are great, we tend to forget about God. We tend to believe that, well, today was prosperous, so tomorrow will be prosperous as well, and maybe the next year. And we forget about God, who gave us that prosperity. But Asa did not. And then it says that since he sought God in the days of his prosperity, he could now rely upon God during this crisis. And it's the same with us. If we serve God, whether it's sunny or whether it's stormy, then God will continue to be with us, to guide us, to protect us. He will be our God and we will be his people. Any questions, comments before we go to the next paragraph?
I was just thinking about how many people are brought out, over a million, and it says, for we rest on thee. Under those circumstances, we are going to rest on thee. We're not going to be scared out of our mind. I love how he links it near the end of the paragraph as well. He says, let not man prevail against thee. He's got this closeness because in going against thee, they're going against us who are your people. Very close relationship he brings out in prayer.
Amen. Amen. And it brings up the aspect that God unites his interests so much with us that when people come against us as the followers of God, they're coming against God in the person of his saints. So Asa recognized that as he was a follower of the God of Israel, then this great army was not coming just for him, but was coming against the God of Israel. So it was more than just a battle between armies. It was a battle between God and the devil, the God of heaven and the God of the pagans. And, you know, when you look at the God of the pagans, it's really a polytheism. It's a whole bunch of gods. But when you understand that all those many gods were just different aspects of one God, then this was a battle between the God of heaven and the devil. Yeah, it is quite... It's quite a deceptive belief in all of the spiritualistic mysteries of Babylon and Egypt and Hinduism and all of them. They all stem from the very central basis or foundation of Babylon. And that was, there was one God in the beginning, and from this one God split off another God, and then these two gods united and birthed out all the other gods. But when you trace it all the way back to the beginning, it was just one God. And of course, that's Lucifer, depicting himself through all of these various religions, that he's the one and only God of the entire universe, and the God of heaven is a usurper. So he's got the great controversy just twisted 180 degrees. But the basis is that there's just one supreme God, and that's the devil. That's Lucifer. But when you look at the Bible, you find out that there's not just one God, there's three gods. And so that destroys the paganistic belief in a Trinity, one God divided in three. We have a heavenly trio, as Sister White puts it. So that heavenly trio, that three God doctrinal teaching of the scriptures, is contrary to the paganistic belief of one God only. And so when you have supposed enlightened Adventists saying that there's only one supreme God, and that Jesus is not God, and the Holy Spirit is not an entity, it's just a power, they're teaching the very foundational basis of paganism, and yet they believe it's a doctrine of the Bible. It's really quite a deception that they're in. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
Yes, Happy Sabbath, everyone. Hope you can hear me. I'm now imagining the mighty, wonderful God we have, and then these gods we are talking about. And these gods we are talking about are jealous, because man was made in the image of God and in his likeness. God is almighty and the ruler of the whole universe, and man was assigned to rule over and have dominion of earth. And this makes these other gods very jealous, and they confuse the whole scenario, the whole relationship between man and his God, his mighty God. Because man made a little bit lower than angels was honored with the privilege of taking dominion of the whole earth and what was created, which was contrary to the other gods, Lucifer. And ultimately, he became jealous, and then he confuses our relationship with our mighty God. Therefore, I'm only seeing and imagining God of heaven has made man in his own likeness, more or less him. We are only to copy what God does, but now this other mighty, the Luciferic gods confuse us, and thereby seeing, confusing the whole human race, and we seeing in that we don't, in most cases, copy the likeness of our mighty God, and yet we are in his image to rule and have dominion. That small responsibility given to man should be carried on, and we should, in particular, be in his likeness, copy his characters, and that will make us different from all these other things we talk about. Thank you. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. Well, thank you, dear brother, and happy Sabbath to you too. Yeah, when the Father said to Christ, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness," there were two areas that human beings were made after God's image and likeness. One was the outward form, and the other was the character. So God created human beings not just to image him in outward form, but especially after his likeness of character. And when you look at how the body functions, especially the mind, you can recognize that only humanity has the ability to be like God in character. No other creation of God on this earth can do that. Only human beings. So it's quite a honor and a privilege. But of course the devil steps in and says, you know, I'm going to turn your faculties away from being a likeness to God in character. And I'm going to make you a likeness to me in character. But the devil can't force us to be like him in character, and God can't force us to be like him in character. We make the choice, and that choice was only granted to us after the fall by Christ dying on the cross. If Christ hadn't have carried out his part in the plan of salvation, none of us would have a choice. We would just follow the devil's leadings in every area. But when Christ said it is finished, when he died on the cross, he set human beings free from being a slave to the devil, gave us back our freedom to choose. So everyone that is saved or everyone that is destroyed has made that choice. Okay, amen. The children of disobedience, they chose to disobey. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
The prayer of Asa, or Asa, is one that every Christian believer may fittingly offer. We fight in a warfare, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. See Ephesians 6, verse 12. In life's conflict, we must meet evil agencies that have arrayed themselves against the right. Our hope is not in man, but in the living God. Amen. With full assurance of faith, we may expect that he will unite his omnipotence with the efforts of human instrumentalities for the glory of his name. Clad with the armor of his righteousness, we may gain the victory over every foe. Amen.
Amen. What's another term for God uniting his omnipotence with the efforts of human beings? What's another name for that? True, it is cooperation. It is a type of contract, like a marriage, yes. It's not justification, because justification is by faith alone. The efforts of human instrumentalities accomplishes nothing in justification. But there's another term. Yes, sanctification. Sanctification is where we put forth the effort to obey God, and God unites his omnipotent power, his divine power, with our efforts, and we then gain the victory together over every foe. Now, how powerful is God's omnipotence? True, it is almighty, it's all powerful. The devil is a defeated foe. He does not have divine power. He only has angelic power. And since angels are created beings, then they do not have any greater power than what they were created with, which is angelic power. God has divine power, omnipotent power. There is no limit to it. What he says takes place. There is no contrariness, no fallibility. So then, if God unites his divine, omnipotent power with our human efforts, Is there a chance of failure? Will we not gain the victory? We can gain the victory through God's divine power over every foe, every temptation, every cultivated and habitual sin, because we have God's divine power strengthening us. There's no chance of failure. The only failure will be if we don't have the full assurance of faith. Not faith in our ability to say no, faith in God's ability to make it no when the devil tempts us to go against God's will. I think we give the devil too much power over us. We lack the full assurance of faith in God's ability to work in us the victory. Yeah, amen. Our worst enemy is self, is doubt. And amen. Get behind me, Satan. You remember when Christ had come down to raise the dead body of Moses? I think maybe it was like a week later or something. The devil was right there and tried to get into an argument with Christ. The Bible in that instance calls him Michael. But Michael became Jesus when he was born in humanity. But what did Jesus say to the devil, to Satan at that instance?
The Lord rebuke thee.
Amen. The Lord rebuke thee. Now, Christ didn't say, I rebuke you. He said, the Lord rebuke you. Why did Christ do that? Wasn't Christ was God? He could have himself rebuked the devil. Why did he say, the Lord rebuke thee? In other words, the Father rebuke thee. But what was the reason in that?
Because there's three gods. That's more powerful than just one.
Well, that's true. another comment, he was always humble and took nothing of himself. That's true. I was looking at it from the aspect that even at that point, before Michael became Christ, he was our example. So if Christ would have said, I rebuke you, then in following his example, we could say, I rebuke thee. But we don't have any power. Christ had the power, but he allowed the Father to take over. And that was Christ's example for us all throughout his human existence. He allowed the Father to take over. We need to do the same. So get thee behind me, Satan. That's somewhat focusing the power on our ability. We need to say, get thee behind me in the name of the Lord. That puts the battle in God's hands, not in our hands, because we'll lose every time. But God never loses. Yeah, amen. Amen. We are nothing. God is everything. So we put forth the efforts to obey God in the full assurance of faith that God's almighty power will gain the victory. That's sanctification. Faith combined with efforts that God working in us will bring us sanctification. That's the Father's will, that we be sanctified, and he's backing up his will if we will look to him in every time of need. Yeah, amen. In the name of the Lord, for the glory of his name. Amen. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? Question in the room, did you say Michael became Christ? Yes. Well, it says Michael the archangel came down to raise the dead body of Moses, and the devil contended with him, and Michael said, the Lord rebuke thee. And then he resurrected Moses, took him to heaven. Michael, the archangel there, doesn't mean that Michael was an angel, which would be created. But when you look up archangel, it means chief over or ruler over the angels. So Michael, who was the Lord God, agreed to carry out the plan of salvation that the Father developed. And when the full time came, Michael was born through Mary and became Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Christ resurrected Lazarus, just as he resurrected Moses, to show that he was one and the same person. But now he had taken humanity in connection with his divinity, both God and man at the same time. So Michael was the resurrection and the life to Moses. Jesus was the resurrection and the life to Lazarus, and he will be the resurrection and the life to everyone who dies in Jesus. Dear brother Rick, do you have a follow-up question, or did you understand what I was able to share there with you? Yeah, amen. Michael cast out the devil and his angels from heaven there in Revelation 12:7-9, showing that he was greater than the devil and thus was not an angel, but was the Lord God and Michael. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Don't be afraid to ask questions, dear brother. If there's something that you don't understand or it's not clear, please feel free. Yeah, that's true. Angel can also mean messenger of God, not necessarily a created being. That's true. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
King Asa, Asa's faith was signally rewarded. The Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his hosts. 2 Chronicles 14:12-13.
Amen. And that was literal. They were overthrown and they could not recover themselves. Now remember here, the Ethiopians were rulers in Egypt and they brought the Egyptian army with them against Asa and Judah. And when you look at the historical lineage of the kings or the pharaohs of Egypt, you have about five kings in a row that were from Ethiopian heritage. But then there's no other Ethiopians that occur as kings or as pharaohs in Egypt past just those five, I believe it was. So they were overthrown and they were not able to recover themselves. They, after those five Ethiopian kings in Egypt, there was no other past that point. So this was literally the occurrence here. There were, the Ethiopians were never again a power, which is quite amazing. Yeah, amen. Amen. So we're to, James 4:7, we're to submit ourselves to God. We're to resist the devil by doing God's will. So there's efforts being put forth. And the devil will flee from you as you draw nigh to God and God draws nigh to you. The devil has to flee. So here you have your efforts, resist the devil, and then you have God coming in and giving you divine power, forcing the devil to flee. And now there's no more temptation. You gain the victory. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
As the victorious armies of Judah and Benjamin were returning to Jerusalem, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he...
Your mic cut out, sister.
Oh, sorry. There's problems going on. Satan's alive and very well. As the victorious armies of Judah and Benjamin were returning to Jerusalem, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. 2 Chronicles 15:1-7.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And glad your mic is working. It's very crystal sharp and clear. So when it works, it's great. And thank you, dear sister. So Asa put his faith in God's ability to gain the victory. The victory was gained. They were coming back from the slaughter. And then God sent a prophet with a message to Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, not just to the king, but everyone there. And the message was a great encouragement. God is with you. While you're with him. So don't forsake him or he won't be with you anymore. But he's with you now. You're with him now. So be strong and continue your work. And it will be rewarded. What was their work?
Share the plan of redemption with the world, to prepare them to receive Christ in the heart who was to come.
Well, that's always the work. But the work that they were doing here was defeating their enemies in the name of the Lord. So the work that they were to continue to do was to defeat the enemies of the Lord. Now they were coming back from the battle. So where were these enemies now that they were coming back? Doubt is an enemy. Self is an enemy. Sin is an enemy. So the devil brought this great army as an intimidation to them to give up the warfare and to submit. They went in the name of the Lord and gained the victory over this great army. They were coming back home. And the message of God to them was, don't stop fighting the enemies. Your work will be rewarded if you continue. So now the enemies they needed to seek out and to fight were in their own hearts, in their own midst. And it's the same with us, dear ones. We have outward enemies, but it's the inward enemies that are the most entrenched. If God could give us victories over outward enemies, he can give us victories over the inward enemies. So be strong in the Lord. Don't give up the fight and be weak. Continue the battle in the name of the Lord, and you will be rewarded with the victory of overcoming in his grace. Any other thoughts? Question, were all the false gods and groves destroyed? Well, that was one thing that Asa was doing early in his kingship, was he was removing the idols, he was removing the groves and destroying it and making sure that there were no hidden paganistic cults still within his territory. And so all the physical enemies were taken care of, and now they needed to turn their attention to the inward enemies. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
Well, self is a lifelong battle. And praise God, we have the victory over that.
Amen. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Sorry, go ahead, sis.
That's okay, brother. Go ahead.
I just got to thank Brother Bob for, putting my glasses on just to expand it for me. Greatly encouraged by these words, Asa soon led out in a second reformation in Judah. He put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Well, that's a great start to getting back to the plan of redemption. Do you want me to read the next, or we'll have someone else?
No, we'll stop here for now. So Asa was greatly encouraged by these words. And he went through Judah, Benjamin, and even some of the territory of Ephraim that he was able to recover or able to take. And he made sure that there was nothing left of the pagan influence there within his territory. And he even renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. So apparently that had broken down and needed to be repaired. And so you can look at this also in a spiritual way, that there were abominable idols in the hearts of individuals throughout Judah and Benjamin, and some in Mount Ephraim. And those were recognized and taken care of. And the altar was renewed. So in a spiritual sense, what is that altar? Amen. The heart. How often do we need to renew our heart affection to God? Amen. Every day. Every day. When the coals on the altar of incense became worn out, they were replaced. They were not to allow that fire that God had kindled on that altar to ever go out. We're never to allow our heart devotion to God to go out. We're to renew it. Day after day. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers,
unknown caller,
and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about, verses 8 to 12, 15. Amen. What a God.
Amen. Amen. So when did God give them rest round about from all their enemies?
Looks like the 15th year and the third month in the reign of Asa.
Well, that's true from a time perspective. But it says here, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and all their soul. And then he was found of them, and then the Lord gave them rest. That's conditional.
So they didn't have to go to war anymore. Is that what happened when they gave their heart and their soul to God? Amen.
There was no more physical enemies that bothered them. Now, they still had the spiritual enemy, the devil, that was bothering them. But as long as they continued to seek God with all of their heart and all of their soul, then he was there with them and continued to give them rest. And it's the same in the spiritual sense. If we're seeking to obey God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then he will be found of us. He will come to our side. He will also give us rest. And that rest is an internal rest. It's within. It's a peace that passeth understanding. It's a peace that cannot be riled. You can have turmoil taking place all around you, but you're at rest and peace because you know that there's nothing that the devil can do against you because God is for you. That's how Christ could remain composed, at rest and at peace, when he was in the trial for his life there with Caiaphas and Annas and then to Herod and then back to Caiaphas. He was at peace. He was at rest all throughout that turmoil going on around him because he knew there was nothing that the devil could do against him, because God was with him.
You know, God is such a loving God. He doesn't force himself on us. We really have to let him know that we want him to be around. We want him in our lives. Otherwise, he is waiting and knocking.
Amen, sis. I was looking at that third line, bro. It says, the Lord, his God, was with him. Once they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him, and I was thinking, that always comes with a message. So they would have understood the plan of redemption. And I was just thinking of the last message of mercy. There's always a message, because even the devil has a message with his miracles, or lack thereof, of conversion to the truth as it is in Jesus. The great controversy played out.
Amen. Amen. And that's why there's so much of history found in the scriptures, because it's replaying over and over again from all different kind of angles, this great controversy between Christ and Satan. And it's still going on today. Reminds me of a scripture verse. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, and I will be found of you when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, and I will be found of you, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13-14. What a promise. I think we'll go ahead and stop here, and we'll pick it up next time at the very top of page 113 that starts out, Asa's Long Record of Faithful Service. And we'll find out more next time. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Are there any testimonies or songs? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
Well, something wonderful happened. My friend of many years, we met in grade school, actually, gave me an improved buggy, so to speak, that I can hold on to and walk with. And the first day I had it, we went to Costco, and I was able to walk 980 steps, almost 1,000 steps. And today I was able to walk some more. And praise the Lord for this gift. It's just been wonderful.
Amen. That's fantastic. Praise the Lord. I imagine you were a bit sore after 980 steps, though.
Yeah, it was a little creaky getting up and walking. It was kind of one leg, the bones were rubbing together, but I will take that kind of pain anytime to be walking, and because you sit or you lay down and you're gone. So I will endure a little pain to stay walking. Amen.
Well, I have a couple of things that happened this week. I'll give God the praise for all, good and bad. The good, we were having internet problems and things, and our internet carrier is through Spectrum. And so the Spectrum guy came out and fixed everything. And he surprised me when he says, you know, I just want to say that I praise the Lord for how he brought me through the storm. And I was shocked. And I said, yes, amen. And we got to talking about how good the Lord is, and I was able to give him Steps to Christ in both English and Spanish. And then I was able to give him the track that you have, the Elder Rob, on the Sabbath. And so I was just rejoicing, you know, because you never know why the Lord allows things to happen. And so by him coming and then praising the Lord, and it was just refreshing to know that this young man was praising God, and he even testified to how, I'm sorry. I will yet praise the Lord. Sorry about that. sorry. But yeah, it was refreshing to have someone that was on his own accord praising God, and so wanted to thank the Lord for that. And I don't remember his name though. And I don't think he gave me his name, but it doesn't matter. I just praise the Lord that he was praising the Lord for everything. Then yesterday, my mom and I had to run some errands, after I got off of work. And, as we were coming home, we were about a mile to a mile and a half from home. And honestly, we had just pulled off from a stop sign. Oh no, from the red light. Yeah. And I do not know where this car came from. I don't think it had lights on, and only God had me put my brakes on right quick. As I braked, the car literally, zoomed past us to where the car shook. We were so, shaken. And all the people around were like, oh my word, you know, if that car had hit us, we wouldn't be here right now. It would have been, he would have obliterated us. I can't even pronounce the word. But we still praise the Lord for sparing mercies, because truly I don't know how that car just out of nowhere. No, we always pray first. And praise God that he allowed us to be able to come through that still, you know, because that was so scary. It reminds me of another time. This is years ago, when I was living in Tampa with my sister, may she rest in peace. But, and I heard a siren, but I didn't see where the siren was coming from. And then all I heard was, stop the vehicle. So loud that it scared the living daylights out of me. I stopped right where I was in the middle of the street, and I'm just shaking, and the fire truck just whizzed right past us. I'm like, oh my stars. So to say that I don't like to drive is a minor thing, because I really don't like to drive. Because when I drive, I don't see other people. I see vehicles. Because people are crazy. Literally, when you're driving out there, they have no patience. And all my stars, praise the Lord to be able to come and give him praise, you know, because truly, if that car had hit us, we wouldn't be here, I don't think. But so God is good and merciful, and we praise him for that.
Amen. Praise God indeed for his divine protection and watchful care. And praise God for also bringing that Spectrum repair guide to fix your internet. What a opportunity to witness to him. And he actually opened the door. Amen. It was refreshing to have someone praising the Lord in your midst instead of, you know, you having to initiate, if you will. But one thing I'm beginning to recognize is that when things break down, of course, the devil is there to harass. He's the one responsible for them breaking down. But God utilizes that opportunity to allow you to witness to whoever comes to repair it, or whoever you take it to get it repaired. So it's an opportunity to witness. And if I can just train my mind to recognize it's an opportunity, instead of, oh man, why did this have to go now? Then it would be so much more easy to endure, because you're looking for someone to witness to. You're looking for God to pick that individual to come and repair it, or to pick that individual you meet at the repair store to bring it to. It's an opportunity to share Christ, the truth, with someone who you would not have the ability to meet without that item breaking down.
We were able to witness today at lunchtime. It's Cindy's birthday tomorrow, and we went out for lunch at El Cholo, which is a very good Mexican restaurant. And as usual, when we receive our food, we all take a hold of each other's hands and we have prayer. And the waiter that was waiting on us had approached the table and evidently had heard the prayer. And the last sentence was, "And bless the hands that prepared this food." He said amen when he walked past our table. So it doesn't matter where you are, you can be a witness that God is your God.
Yeah, amen, amen. Michelle and I have had some instances in which, you know, we went into a restaurant, and when we got our food, we had prayer, and there were others that happened to be looking while we were praying. We didn't notice, but they made it a point to come up to us afterwards and said, "I was so happy to see that you put God first before you ate your food." You know, so many people have no care for God, but it's heartening to see that you still put God first. And so even when we don't realize it, there are people watching us. You know, Paul says we're like an open book known and read of all individuals. There's people watching us. And just in putting God first in prayer before we ate our food, it was a witness to others. So praise God indeed.
There was an instance, again, about prayer before eating. Someone had noticed us at a restaurant, and when the waitress came up to our table, and we asked for the bill, she said, "Oh, someone already paid for your meal." And I said, "Oh, really? Who was that?" And she said, "Well, he's standing up at the counter right now." And it was two men that were there. And I kind of waved, and the man came over and he said, "I noticed that even when you didn't have room on your table, that you raised your hands up over the table and asked God to bless your food." And he says, "That really touched my heart." And he was the one that paid for our meal. Praise the Lord.
I'd just like to say that you may have noticed Satan's been giving me a very hard time today. I've been kicked off several times. My audio wouldn't work. My video's been on and off. But praise the Lord, he gave me the persistence to deal with it. And may he always do that. And may the devil never, never, never learn. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. We're glad you're here with us, dear sister. And this Sabbath, you're able to praise God with a voice. It's wonderful to hear you. Maybe you and James can do a duet.
If I can ever get up there again, yes, maybe we can. I have a driving problem at the moment, which is why we're not together. But hopefully, prayerfully, Godfully, that will improve.
I also want to say it's wonderful to see your face, Sister Lucy. That's wonderful. Your screen is on and you're on it. That's wonderful.
That took a lot of courage, Sister Joan, but again, I think the Lord was with me.
Well, sis, it's so good to be beside you. You're beside me on the screen, at least. And maybe one day, just here, we'll be having... Oh, and Brother Dick's on your other side, so that's fantastic. What a bonus. I do have something to share. I got to give out 36 great controversies, and you can quit tobacco, and two world crises foretold. And a particular lady from... I think I mentioned it to you, who I met at the first rally Lucy and I went to, named Sister Siri. She's shown a little interest in coming online, perhaps, and she had a lot to share when I rang her. I shared this with Lucy when I got the chance to ring her back, and she obviously had the time to talk, so I was preparing for Sabbath. I was telling her I was preparing for Sabbath. It's amazing what you can do while you're on the phone. You know, I was amazed she wasn't saying, oh, what are you doing? Anyway, she had to ring up a couple of times because the line was breaking up. And time and again, the opportunity came up about why do you believe what you believe. Well, so I didn't go into detail what would link to 1844 date regarding the first angel's message, where most Christians believe the 70-week prophecy throughout history, which is a great way to show the starting point, 457 BC, because that leads to the ministry and death of Jesus and then the time allotted to the Jewish nation in their unfaithfulness, 34 AD, and that will give us 1844. Well, we didn't get that far. We jumped a bit ahead. She wanted to know about last day events and the third angel's message and the mark of the beast, and praise the Lord, she does not believe the vaccine is the mark of the beast. She said, no way. I said, oh, that's music to my ears. I said, no, because it's got to deal with worship. But what I think she's inclined to think, it's a microchip. Okay, so she's going a bit backward. That's an old popular belief. And I said, yeah, but there's no worship in there. I'm not saying they can't use that to enforce, you know, their will, but it's to do with worship. And she's a former Catholic, so she has so much to share. She's in a position financially to live in the country. She's in the suburbs, 15 minutes from Perth. And all I could suggest to her is, if I were you, I would be out. I told her where I am. And I said to her, we'll obviously keep this in prayer. It was good to hear she wanted to pray with us. We never got there, of course, for some reason, because she just had so much to share. But one thing I will keep you in prayer. One thing that did come up is the fact that I wanted her to understand that, you know, when you're going into partnership with anyone, like, because she wants people to help her on the land that she'd like to buy and to get off, you know, get off the grid, you know, in every way be as less reliant on the government as possible. And she recognizes, praise the Lord, that eventually they're going to take that away too, even if she doesn't understand prophecy quite like us. And she agreed. But I said to her, you know, but you want to make sure you're on the same path. You know, you say, oh, Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they'd be agreeing? Oh, but you know, if we're Christians and that, and she's mature. She knows that, there's Christians that don't agree. They might agree about the vaccine being forced on us to take away your job. But she said, you know, but there's a lot of other things they don't agree on. They hardly get along.
And that, and I said, so you want to make sure, you know, the basics, like the Ten Commandments, the testimony, how are we going to know if something's true? And she was listening. She had a lot to share, and apparently she'd like to meet up. And I think, if she doesn't meet me at the swap meet on Sunday, hopefully perhaps myself and Lucy will be able to meet her in person sometime, perhaps Sunday. So thank you for keeping that in prayer. It's always good to have further contacts. We certainly need them, and it's so good to hear how you, how some of you have shared today. Like Brother Bob said, like just for it to come naturally, we just keep seeing events in the day, although they don't quite like you expect the day to go, to see it as if I'm following Christ, I'm submitting my will and my plans to Him, that there's a good purpose behind it. And, that person may just need to hear it. It reminds me actually on, Tuesday I went walking, get around the corner, a few letterboxing, a few knocks at the door, no one answering. And then this guy comes in. Well, he didn't have much time and I'd just woken him up. I thought that might afford me some swear words. Well, they came later for other reasons, but he was happy to talk with me and is amazed I had not received vaccinations and boosters to losing my job. And maybe that's what opened it up. But it's amazing how many last day lessons you can have with people that don't know you're having them with them. So I hope he takes the health, these laws restore health track to heart. And, who knows? Maybe we'll see him again. So good to see it. Well, we're not seeing you, Sister Bell, but, good to see that you're in the room. Sister, dear family.
Amen. We'll be keeping them in prayer, dear brother, and praise the Lord for getting out so many material week after week. That is a blessing. And may God indeed multiply it, thousandfold. Well, let's not limit God, a millionfold. May it spread far and wide quickly. Are there any other thoughts or comments, testimonies, songs, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
I do. I have a praise the Lord. I praise the Lord that Sister Joan is getting better and with the help of her family and with the Lord. And it will be so good to be with her again when we can go down there or her coming up here. So praise the Lord.
Amen. That is a tremendous blessing. Have a hymn here we haven't sung for a while. And I know it's very familiar. I want to hear more than just a couple voices here. Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home. In a little while.
Little while.
In a little while.
Little while.
We shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
We will do the work that our hands may find to do. In a little while we're going home. And the grace of God will our daily strength renew. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. Praise the Lord.
Smooth the path for some weary wayworn feet. In a little while we're going home. And may loving hearts spread around an influence sweet. In a little while we're going home. In a little while. In a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while, we're going home.
There's a rest beyond, there's relief from every care. In a little while we're going home. And no tears shall fall in that city bright and fair. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while, we're going home.
Amen. Just a little while longer. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Dear ones, are there any other songs, anything else that you'd like to share before we have closing prayer? Please feel free.
Do you have In the Garden? I Come to the Garden Alone. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy
He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen. Lucy, let's sing it together. Can you hear me? I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go. Through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. Great choice, sis. Sister Luce, will you sing for us? You spoiled us today, letting us see you.
You know how I feel about singing solo. That's why I only join in the choruses with you. Sorry, bro.
Well, one of these days. Here's a hymn that is sort of a companion to In the Garden. It's called In God's Green Pastures Feeding. In God's green pastures feeding by his cool waters lie. Soft in the evening walk my Lord and I. All the sheep of his pasture fare so wondrously fine. His love sheep am I. Waters cool
in the valley,
pastures green
on the mountain.
In the evening walk my Lord and I. Dark the night
in the valley,
rough the way
on the mountain.
Step by step, my Lord and I.
Through the streets of the city, in the darkness of night, far from the fold, he heard my lonely cry. Now I sit at his table, in the palace of light, his dear child
am I. Waters cool
in the valley.
Pastures green
on the mountain.
In the evening walk my Lord and I. Dark the night
in the valley.
The way
on the mountain.
Step by step, my Lord and I.
In the safety of thy melody, of thy keeping its fruits, it's my Lord and I. Talking by the river of the water of life,
yes, friend am I.
What is love? Pastures green
on the mountain.
May I walk my
Lord and I. Amen. That was beautiful, dear ones. And what a compassionate personal Savior each one of us has, whether in the garden or walking with our Lord. What a Savior. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other songs or testimonies that you'd like to share at this time? Before we have closing prayer, please go right ahead.
I just wanted to say, just think, when our ears are made whole, when we can hear like we're supposed to hear, how lovely it will be to hear the angels singing right along with us. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And each one of the redeemed will know how to play harps, which will be quite interesting. But all in praise to God and to Christ, who makes salvation possible. It's been a wonderful service, dear ones. Thank you so much for your participation, and thank you, dear Godhead, for dwelling with us and opening our understanding to the truth. And who would like to have closing prayer for us?
Precious Father in heaven, thank you for making this meeting possible, for strengthening the internet connection, allowing us to see one another and to hear from one another and see and read the thoughts of others, of your children. We so need this. We don't, most of the time throughout the week, we don't have it. And we're thankful that the Holy Spirit is offering to be with us and stay with us even to our death if we're called to it. And we're so appreciative to be able to have the assurance that infinite love is on our side. Omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, and omnibenevolence is working on our behalf, and not just for us, but the whole world. To give them to show them there are real choices to make, and that you will cause the genuine in heart to realize those choices made with the providence of God working on their behalf to eternal salvation. Please be with our dear brethren and sisters that are meeting around the world, including the Philippines, and the preparations for future efforts to win more souls to Christ. That the meetings that take place, the dissertations, the sermons, the readings, the Bible studies, prayers, online and offline, would either have the cross as the center and theme of each presentation, and especially its link with the present truth today, calling God's people out from Babylon in word, doctrine, deed, belief, and practice. Thank you for such illumination on the little we do understand. And I have to say, I'm excited, and I think others are too, just what more you have in store to reveal yet to our minds. Please help us internalize what we learn over the Sabbath hours and what we have learned previously, and hold fast to that which is true, because we have proved all things and come to these conclusions that your Bible approves. Thank you for taking care of brothers and sisters, especially the story of Sister Lynn in the car, with, most likely with Mum, Dot. Thank you for speaking literally a number of times in brothers and sisters' lives where it's so audible they cannot fail to understand. I think that's just wonderful divine providence working there. You know what will wake up your children to a specific thing that has to be woken up to in an instant. And what power do you manifest on behalf of the children of men and women? Thank you for saving and also causing us to be a saving influence on others by simply just being instrumentalities that are willing, like the precious steps to Christ that's in the young man's life that Sister Lynn had a little while ago this week from a company. We pray, dear souls, never forget the precious literature and other things that have been said to them that have the truth of God behind them, backing them, buttressed with scripture, that they would become or continue being growing Christians, so they might be preparing for the greatest event in history, the second coming of the real Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven, to take his children home to the new Jerusalem in heaven, to come back after the 1,000 years on this earth. Thank you for giving our dear Sister Joan the power and the impetus to want to walk. No doubt, what a blessing it is to hear that despite it being painful, she's gone. She's reached 1,000 steps. Bless her to continue and not overdo it and not underdo it as far as she can do. And I think it's an object lesson for us all that we would do what we can do while we can do it, and remember that it's up to us if we're going to limit your hand or make it unlimited in our life and in the lives of others, that it can be seen God is, has, and will do everything if we don't frustrate your plans. Thank you for forgiving us when we've recognized the frustration of your plans in the past, and being able to share this as a testimony of how good you are and not rewarding us according to our deeds of the past. Bless our brothers and sisters who are preparing for bed with all the sleep that they need to be rejuvenated for the daylight hours, and for us that have the Sabbath before us. Please help us not let us get away with not a further growth in the things of God that will be telling to prepare us for the whole week ahead. In Jesus we thank and pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. And we will indeed keep the preparations for the meeting there in the Philippines in our prayers. And thank you for letting us know, dear Sister Belle and Brother Fred. Are there any other thoughts or comments before Brother Dick sings us away, please feel free.
Just want to say big hugs to everyone. I really love fellowshipping with you on Friday night and the Sabbath. What a blessing.
Likewise, dear sis and brethren and sisters.
Amen. Feeling is mutual to all. Dear ones, go with God. He'll give you the victory through Christ, which will strengthen you. Until we meet again, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, my God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.